when you get into the deep things of God, it's very difficult sometimes to articulate it. The Bible says the deep calls on the deep. It's different when you're in the shallow end of the pool and your feet can stand and you can balance yourself. But when you're in the deep end, you got to tread water. It's a little more difficult to be able to do so. And God is calling his people into the deep end to start swimming and to start trusting him. No longer is it, well, it's never been easy to follow Jesus, but no longer is it really easy. And the things that are coming out of the body and being preached or spoken about really aren't God. Because when you encounter Jesus, there's transformation and there's change. There's not pacification. Jesus doesn't pacify you, nor does he give you a pacifier to suck on. And the enemy lies to the people of God when it comes to comfort and convenience, because what people do is they use that as a lifeline or a raft in order to try to brace themselves, especially when they're in the unknown where God flips their life upside down. God has never or never will be interested in your comfort or your convenience. It has nothing to do with the fact that God does not comfort you in times of need. Yes, he does. But he does not allow your life get to a point of comfortability where you no longer need him. That is not the walk. So if people are telling you that it's going to get easy, it's going to get better, he has good plans for you. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, because you're going to have to lean upon him. If you could do it without God, why are you here? If the world could survive without God, why are we here? God has already interrupted the process. He interrupted the process in the garden. And he keeps interrupting that process. Ever notice that about God? Every time you think you get to a point where I've got it, God turns something, interrupts it, and now you don't have it, and now you have to lean again on him. Because God knows the danger of you becoming too comfortable, and you know it yourself. Don't lie, you know it yourself. When you get comfortable, you get complacent, and you start thinking about things that are not God. And anytime you start leaning on your own understanding, you go back into dysfunction because you think about the old ways. You don't think it's easy to go back to the old ways. Just try it. Try leaning on your own understanding this week. See what happens. Because there are things that God is calling people into that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You're asking me to do what? And if I were to really think about it too long, I would tap out. Now I got to catch myself because I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith. And God will always bring you into a season where your faith is being challenged or stretched, not stagnant. And seasons come and go. And he's in charge of the seasons. And it doesn't really matter whether you think I'm on the mountaintop. What is the mountaintop anyway? We got to define that. We got to define what the mountaintop is. And whether you think you're in the valley, I wish I was on the mountaintop. You got to be careful what you wish for. Because there are people who are rising up the mountain that can't stay on the mountain, and they're falling right back down in the valley. And you've seen people like that, and you see people begin to climb, and they can't get their footing, and they slip, and they go right back down to where they started from. This is the body at large. They're climbing, but their footing isn't sure because they're guessing with God. Well, I guess God wants me to go. I guess I can believe God. You can't guess. You have to go. The Old Testament is a perfect example of people who had tenacious faith. These people are like, listen, throw me in the fire, kill me, it doesn't matter. I'm going to see Jesus. Put me in the den, that's fine. I'll stay in the den. Daniel, what happened? The Lord shut the lion's mouth, so I'm still here. So we have a problem. All of a sudden, we wake up one day, and we see the bank account. We're like, oh, crap. God doesn't love me. He doesn't love me. I'm out. I'm a holdback. I'm going to do my own thing. And it's the most dangerous thing you can do is to start doing your own thing. You're in the valley. What are you learning in the valley? That's what we're talking about today. Navigating the valley. We started a series last week called Fundamental. Missy did a great job talking about pride and its effects. And when you think you have it, that you really don't, and God checks your motives. This has nothing to do, Jenny, about not being confident. Let's not mix up the two. Let's not walk around and we got to be humble. Humility doesn't mean that you have to beat on me in order for me to serve Jesus. And I have to walk around like, yes, that's not humility. I have to be confident in who I am in Christ. Because if I'm not confident in who I am in Christ, I'm not going to take ground. And I'm not going to do the things God has called me to do because I confuse pride and confidence. Well, I don't want to be prideful. Yeah, but you're dumb if you're not confident. If I'm going in on a job interview and all I do is put my head down like this the whole time. So tell me about yourself. Well, I wish I could, but I serve Jesus. I serve Jesus. You serve Jesus. I don't want that Jesus. You got to walk in confident knowing who you are and tell your story. Has nothing to do. God knows how to check your pride. But you can't walk around. Is it prideful or not? Don't worry about that. God will check it. But there has to be a confidence. There has to be. Let's not get it twisted, boo. When it comes to your relationship with Jesus, no one wants to be around someone who's not confident in who they are and who's always walking around apologizing for everything. That has nothing to do with confidence because that means you serve a God who really is not worth serving then. That's not what the valley's for. There are things that I learned in the valley that I need to learn. I have to learn. That's why David wrote in the book of Psalms. Let's read it right here, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Hold it right here. Keep it on that screen. Number one, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. First thing you learn in the valley is that he is all that you need. That's why you're in the valley, so he can show you that he's all you need. Some of y'all are still complaining about who you've lost. And the Lord said, I let them go so that you can understand that I am all that you need. And until you get that, I'm not bringing people back into your life in the same way you think they need to come back into, because you lean on them every time you want comfort. And you fish for their approval. You know what fishing is in the way you talk. Yeah, I know, but if I could ever. You're wanting someone to affirm who you are, instead of being confident, you're looking for someone else to pull you out. And God said, until you learn that I have the ability to pull you out, and furthermore, until you learn that you have the ability to pull your own pants up and pull yourself out, we're going to stay right here. There are times in my life where God said, we're going to stay right here until you learn to put your big boy pants on and you learn to praise me through it and get out yourself. I'm your strength. No one else is your strength. And until I learn that, thank you, Jesus, that I learned it, I was able to move on. And God said, we're going to stay in this little end right here, and I'm going to watch you flounder until you finally strengthen yourself. You don't think God will let you? Trust me. Until you stop whining and complaining and you start trusting me, once I begin to see that attitude change, you know, parents, what that looks like. I see your face. Oh, sorry, Mom. That's what I want to see. And God does it. He says, listen, I know you're downcast. I know you're struggling. I get you're struggling. I'm really looking for your heart. Yeah. God knows your heart. He knows your heart. But that's not an excuse for behavior. If that were the case, we'd all be in jail. Because what people do is that they have a tendency to want to feel their way through life. You can't feel your way through life. You cannot feel your way through life. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. You cannot be led by your emotions in this life and win. You can't. Because you'll end up changing stuff about you that God said, I don't want it to change. I need you to learn by my Spirit how to walk and do it when you don't feel like it, because I'm trying to help you tame that part of yourself, that shadow part of yourself that rises up every time. I need that tamed by my Spirit so you can actually do what I've called you to do, because you lean too much on your emotions. You got to stop. You got to stop. And ever notice that anytime you start breaking into a new season, little shadow boy comes up and starts to wave his hand and say, hey, how you doing? He's the jester. Yes. Wait, this is a good opportunity, Lord, for me. Yeah, to step out of faith. And that little shadow comes up and says, you know, you're going to fail. So why even try it? And you got to shut that thing up and say, no, I'm going to take my thought captive and move on. Because if you don't, that guy will take you out the rest of your life. And you'll walk around in the wilderness for 40 and 50 years, growing old and wondering what's going on. And the promised land is right there. Right there. And the Lord says, you've let the shadow win. That's why we talk about the shadow in this church, because of how real it is. It has nothing to do with you being able to recite Hebrews if you can't beat little Johnny. I'm trying to win, but this guy keeps coming up. It's about time you learn how to beat this guy. Most of y'all are sports fans in here. Everyone loves sports, especially when your team's doing well. When your team's not doing well, you're trying to look for anything else to pacify your Lord Jesus, maybe next year, and then sometimes it's 10, 20 years before they even get it. You got to find out, a different affection, right? Eventually, 3 points is not enough when you're on the field. You have to score touchdowns. It's just not enough. And I get concerned because we do all this stuff and we get down in the red zone like, oh man, we're about to have victory, and we stall. And we can't get in. It's not the fact that we haven't done the work to get there. But anytime you're about to break through to the other side, things tighten. Yes. That's when it really matters down there. Can you win down there when the field shrinks and your enemies are right in front of you and you're looking at all of them? Can you actually score? And you're going to have to learn some skills. You're going to have to learn who you are. You're going to have to learn some confidence, be led by the Holy Spirit, because things begin to narrow and the pressure begins to mount, because you got to score eventually. I get sick of just making little progress. And I'm not to say that this isn't a walk. It is a walk. But eventually, every once in a while, there has to be mass scored, and it felt good. There has to be a win. I never watch a game and never really say to myself, well, I think the team felt good about losing today. I think it taught them a lot about who they are. And I think they'd come back next week really strong, really strong. Try to put a positive spin. I've never heard a coach talk like that. He's usually pissed. And until you get tired of losing, and until you get tired of always falling short, until you get tired of always having the same thing, things won't change. And the Lord allows you to get there so that you can change. I'm telling on myself today. You ready? Probably about 2-3 months ago, and I'm going to be real out. I woke up one morning. I was so angry that I said, I've had enough of this financial issue. I've had enough. I'm going to be honest with you. And it could be something different for you. Y'all bunion on your foot. I've had enough hurting, whatever it is. For me, I said, I've had enough of this season of field goals. And I felt like that day the Lord said, I'm for you, I'm not against you. But I had to get to a point of where I said, I've had enough settling for what I feel like I'm not supposed to be settling for. And God said, I'm closing the season, and I want you to trust me for more. And I asked Missy, I finally said, no, I got to start doing something else. I can't do it anymore. God has not put it in me to settle. I can't settle. And the enemy tries to bring all these distractions to get you to settle. All these shadow stuff. Well, it's just how it's going to be. And starts throwing everything up. Why? Because as I was about to gain some victory, things tightened and the pressure came on. And finally, I began to say, that's it. And so happened, God orchestrated it where I was able to get a job at BayCare, right? Working full time and doing this, right? So here's the deal. Lord said, you sick yet? You sick of it? I finally got sick of it and said, let's do something else. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I have all that I need in him. I have to know that he's for me. And sometimes, guys, in order to go from 3 to 7, it requires a little bit of faith and work. God's not just going to say, you get a car, you get a car, you get a girlfriend, you take a wife, you do whatever you want to do. Sometimes you got to do the work in order to do it, and it requires work. I don't want to get up and do it. Do you want your situation to change? If you don't, stay there and complain. But you'll walk around the wilderness until you finally get sick of it and say, that's enough. But I know if the Spirit of God is inside of you, he's not going to let you settle. And that means some of y'all are uncomfortable right now because God's asked you to do something that's outside of your comfort zone, and you don't want to do it because you like the wilderness, because you bought into the idea that that's God's plan. Well, that's just the way it is for me. Is it? That's not the God that I serve. So sometimes, Malia, it's a matter of just saying yes to not what you necessarily want to do, but what God opens, because when he does that, you start beating little Johnny. I want to win. God opens the door and it's right there. Walk through it. I don't want to do it, Lord. That could be the key to your breakthrough. I stepped in it and all of a sudden God said, broke it open. And guess what little Johnny did? Died. He died because tell Missy, first couple days he was in my ear like this. What do you think you're doing here? What do you think? What do you think you're doing? You're not going to make it. You know you're going to fail. These people's lives are in your hand. And after a few Celsius, some vitamins, Sean's going to tell you. So we're going to do this. About 15, 20 minutes, just talking with our boss. Just knows Jesus, had a relationship with Jesus. Whole office, we're just sitting there, probably about 20 minutes. Came in, hey, I got to ask you some questions. It's about my relationship with Jesus, about God. Just captive audience. Sean, me and him, Sean just talking. In seasons for a purpose, not just for paper. And all of a sudden, now, because now he sees, oh, God's chasing me. Because he had an experience, but decided, like most people, I don't like church people. But now he puts a pastor, another crazy guy, in the same room. And now he's surrounded, wife's praying for him, kids praying for him. Now what's he going to do? God's like, I told him, man, he's just chasing you, man. Had nothing to do with how I feel. If I would have given it how I feel, what I don't know what God would have done and could have done and would be doing with him if we didn't step in and just say, yeah. Because he needs to see authenticity, not hypocrisy. Oh, my God, you all run a church and you also work a job? I'll listen to you. Oh, you're not some overweight preacher? Sitting up in his office, just having people come. No, I like to be out and doing stuff. Yeah, that's what we're about. The church needs to be out and doing stuff. It's not just, well, I'm a Christian. You got to come to me. No, I'm going to go out. Lord, where do you want to send me? Let's go. You got good plans. It doesn't matter what sector of society it's in. It doesn't matter. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. You know how I get there? Number one, recognizing he's all that I need. And two, taking the step into where he's called me to step, that's where peace comes. Before peace, there's always anxiety. Because God has interrupted the process and said, no, I'm stirring you up. So you're going to feel that until you do what I've called you to do. And until you do what I've called you to do, that's going to be anxiety. You're going to feel that turmoil. Guys, the idea that somehow this world is going to get to a point of complete peace is a fallacy. And we're waiting on this idea, and the government's trying to do it. We're all trying to do it until we get finally peace. What do you really want? World peace. We all want this stuff, and that's something that we dream of. We don't even know what that even means. Because even when we say peace, peace, guess what? Destruction's coming. Because the Lord knows it can't be built on peace that's changing and shifting. It has to be built upon me. Remember, he's my shepherd. I shall not want. I get peace when I walk and do what he's called me to do. I don't get peace by having people around me propping me up, telling me what I should do. Then it becomes unhealthy. And now I have all these issues because I'm waiting on you to affirm me. I can't be there. I can't. Because as a believer, my eyes are not supposed to be fixed on here, fixed upon heaven. So we keep trying to look around. Lord, give me the answer. Who's coming into government next? Don't care. If a war's coming here, I'm ready. Silence, why? Because in your heart, you fear. And people I know in this church and people I know, oh my God, what if it hits here? If it does, you're not ready? Because most people don't have the confidence to know that if they really died, where they'd be going. And it's a gut check time. Because people, when they talk about Jesus all the time, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I walk with Jesus. All of you start hearing this stuff. Oh, my God. Can they get here? Are there cells here? And fear starts to rise up. And people all of a sudden start to panic. And if your foundation is shaken because of that, we got a lot more work to do. You're dealing with people in the New Testament facing death daily. I don't understand it. I don't understand the comfortability. I don't understand this infatuation with safety. I don't get it. When most of the world doesn't live like you. Right now, people, I want you to go just look at one of the news shows and see what these people are having to deal with in tunnels, in hills, trying to fight battles behind scenes. You can't even find them. You got guys, soldiers going into war knowing we might die today because we can't see in the tunnel and we have to fight in a space like this. And so you're trying to go into the enemy's camp. Talk about going to the enemy's camp and having to deal with fear. These guys are like, well, we got to defend the country. So we're going in. And Christians, we got to defend the gospel. Oh, I can't defend a guy. I can't stand up for my faith in my office. I can't. You just don't know. I can't go on a mission trip. I can't. I'm not ready to give my life. War is already here. It's already here. You're already in a spiritual war. It's here. The possibility of real war coming is a possibility. Y'all remember the movie Red Dawn, ran back in the 80s? The old one, the good one? Not the new one. It's like, why'd you even make that movie? Went in to school one day, and all of a sudden parachutes came over the school. They're like, what's going on here? And three or four kids got fired up. The Bible talks about being sober and being vigilant because your enemy is walking around like a roaring. He's seeking. Well, what does that mean? He's just waiting for you. He's just waiting for you just to give him an opportunity so he can pounce and take you right out. Even, yes, in the prime of your life, yes, even right now, even just waiting for you, even more dangerous in the valley because you're more susceptible for escape. You ask yourself, is it worth it? You got to really lean on Jesus in the valley. You got to lean on him now because it's easier now than ever than to check out and say, I'll take Buddhism. I'll take Hinduism. Anything else. But when Jesus asks us to walk, he's asking us to walk down narrow paths. Because if he is to truly become Lord in your life, you're going to learn that in the valley. You're not learning that up high. When I really learned who Jesus was, it was in hardship and it's in struggle. It was not when somebody gave me something or a pamphlet that told me 10 ways to know who Jesus is. It was in the valley, and it continues to be in the valley and in the fight where I learned who Jesus is so that when God does bless me, I know who gave it to me and I can hold it and it doesn't become some sort of idol in my life because Jesus always has to be first. If he's not first, he will make it really plain. And you will stay in the valley longer than you need to. Could it be you're there because you're not learning the lesson fast enough? That's between you and the Holy Spirit. Peaceful streams. It's not like the world gives peace. It's a supernatural peace. Because it's peace in the midst of uncertainty, because that's where the Lord leads you, into uncertainty. Not certainty. I want a secure future. Build it on Jesus. I don't have the peace like I should. You got to work that out and find out why. And I know so some of you are like, man, this isn't the type of preaching I'm used to. This is preaching the way you should receive it and hear it. Okay? This is not one of those things that when you leave here, it says, I got my $55,000 car and I'm good and my Tesla, I'm all for blessing, but take that and just give me Jesus. Jesus will give me the Tesla once he's first, if he wants it for me. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to who? His name. He renews my strength. He gives me strength. When do I need strength? In the valley. When do I need strength? Every single day. When I'm at the end of myself, I need the strength to boost me back up again. Last week, sick over the weekend, y'all know that. Literally, like Jesus came to my bedside. It just felt like him. And just that night, just like super strength to me. He said, you got to get up, boy. You got to go to work. I got stuff for you to do. This wasn't one of those, remember the pre-COVID stuff going on? This was like, we got to get this done quick, get you back up strength, and let's go. I got stuff for you to do. Renews my strength, leads me beside the right path, bringing honor to his name. Not your name. Not your name. Lord, I don't like the path. Well, it's not about you. I'm bringing honor to my name. This is fundamental to the faith. If we can't get this, we're lost. I'm going to raise myself up. You're going to come down real quick. I'm all for Instagram followers. I'm all for that stuff. But if having 87,000 followers is going to inflate your head and you can't keep it in perspective, it's not good for you. Because half of them don't even like you anyway. Because they don't even know the real you. If people were to know the real you, how would that affect your relationship? If what they saw on social media didn't match what they saw in person, how would that affect how you live your life? Because people hide behind stuff because they don't like to face reality. I'm all for posting stuff if you need to post it and it actually is worth listening to. But if when I see you, you are not that same person, you have just ruined your credibility and we have nothing to connect on. Because most people, what they do is they want to spray the firework. Here's the firework. I had a great chicken lamb sandwich. It was great. And then when I see you, what? There's nothing there. Substance. I know people who are off social media. They're like, I don't even want to be on it. I'm like, good for you. If you look at my social media, I post once every 9 years. Stuff that actually matters. Bringing honor to his name. Not my name, his name. Verse 4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Here's where we get the idea of even when I walk through the darkest valley, some translations say the valley of the shadow of death. Where do we get the idea of the shadow? Psalm 23. It's the shadow, because there are going to be some things you're going to walk in your life and you're going to wonder, am I ever going to get out of this? Because it's so dark and God's trying to do something in you to pull you out of the shadows, because there are so many believers who are shadow boxing and they can't get out. Or when they do try to get out, there's such a stronghold in their life that nothing breaks. Why do you think there's a fight right now over your life? Why is there a fight in the body? Because the enemy is doing everything he can to keep people in the shadows. Stay there. Stay there. Shh, shh, shh. Don't say that. Stay there. And you got to fight just to get out and say, no, I'm going to say it. Oh, it was nice. I used a nice word. See, you got to fight to be able to get out. The Lord's working on me, right? Just today, though. So anyway, so coming out to be able to come out, because there's nothing there. There's nothing there. An enemy knows there's nothing there. And he's lying to you. And until you can learn to actually do what God's called you to do, despite him throwing up his lies, you'll stay stuck. And the shadow will have more power than the Spirit of God does. But I think what the issue is, Eric, is that most people have become so comfortable living in the shadow that they don't realize it's actually killing them. And God has been on me and telling me to stay out. Even when it comes up, stay out. Know who you are, because people need to see what it means to be out. I'm talking about dark valleys. He says, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. He's not saying you're not going there. You're going to go there, because God's doing a work in your life to try to get you out. And the only way that that works is that he's got to get in there with you. And he's the light that helps guide you through the family of origin stuff. When it comes up, the stuff that's been embedded in your life and that's taken root, all he's got to guide you through all that stuff so that you can hear clearly that he has good plans for you, and that what used to affect you doesn't affect you anymore. And that the Spirit of God has set you free from that. And you got to have ears to hear what he's saying to you. Because if you're not, you miss out on the blessing of stepping out. Some of y'all, God's just trying to get you to step out to break away from the past. There are directions that God is trying to take you to sever the holds. But it doesn't mean that the enemy is not going to be there whispering to you. Can you do it? Afraid. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You don't have to worry about the Lord not fending off enemies. What you have to worry about is you not staying close to Jesus. Because you can't navigate it without staying close, because you will die. You will fall in a hole and you will die. Because some people get caught up into who they were and how they used to identify. And they get caught up in all this stuff. And before you know it, what should be good and what should be a blessing, all it becomes a curse to them. Because now they're living through their family of origin. And I don't know if I can do this. You got to beat that stuff. You got to beat it. You got to beat what your dad did. You got to beat what your mom. You got to beat all of it. And the Lord's going to have me preach it, or somebody else preach it. You're going to hear somebody else say, you got to beat this stuff. Because whether you realize it or not, it's just killing you. One of the things that God did for us years ago was God began to separate us. We've talked about this, kind of our testimony, began to separate us from our family of origin. We title it that. It's a fancy word, relatives, immediate family. And so, listen, I got something else I want you to do. And it was not easy. It is not easy, but I look back and look at the faithfulness of God and say, yea, though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because now I'm out. Now my eyes are open. Now I can see. And what God did then was so supernatural, it benefits me now so that I can continue to walk. And the more I walk and do what God's called me to do, I don't hear little Johnny anymore. It's like nothing to me. So when things come up against you that you've already beaten because your immune system is now built to those things that are detrimental to you, it doesn't affect you anymore. That's why when you learn to deal with rejection and you can learn right how to beat it, when someone comes up against you, it doesn't affect you anymore. You can't serve Jesus and serve people at the same time. It doesn't work that way. You're going to be torn. And we don't like to hear about this because you don't want everybody around you. You want Jesus around you. Because when Jesus is around you, those who don't need to be around you have to go. Or what they do doesn't affect you anymore. Can you serve Jesus while doing it in front of people who don't like you? Look at David. His enemies were constantly after him. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you're close behind me. How did he learn that? By walking in the valley. How are you going to learn it? By navigating the valley. You're not going to learn it any other way. It might be dark for a season, but it's okay. There's light in there. And you're going to come out into the light. And then the Lord's going to show you who he was and how faithful he was. But take heart. He's coming. He's with you. Take heart. Take heart. It's just part of the process. Don't be freaked out. Because nobody ever told me about this, right? You got to find out the hard way sometimes. Nobody ever said that after I get done listening to the message or whatever that was, then I actually have to walk this thing out. And what is this fear? I don't know where that fear came from. What does this mean? Why do I want to kill myself? Why do I have these thoughts? Why is this not working? Why do I feel like I'm hexed? Why do I feel like there's a curse over my life? All this stuff is real. Shadows, things that are coming. Nobody ever told me about this stuff until the Spirit of God says, this is real. This is not a test that I need you to walk with me, because there are things the enemy's trying to do to take you out. And the Holy Spirit's the only one who can show you. No one else can do it. Holy Spirit's got to show you, because if not, you'll check out of something that God actually wants you in so you can learn. Learn. I don't get wisdom by stuff being handed to me. I can talk about Jesus because I've been walking with Jesus. So there are things that God wants to do in your life that are not going to be done any other way but by walking through the valley. Why is this fundamental? Because if you miss this, your whole Christian walk is going to be based upon some false sense of security that you believe is right and it's not right. God wants to bless me, absolutely, but it's going to come through suffering. God wants to elevate me, yes, but it's not going to come before you go through the valley. God wants to give me power. It's not coming unless you break in certain areas and he becomes strong or you are weak. I want provision. God said, I will give you provision when you align yourself with my purpose. I will help you walk in victory when you actually learn what it means to walk in defeat, so that you know that that's not my plan for you. This is. I want you to have a bad taste in your mouth for losing. Not losing your life. Let's get it right. You're supposed to lose your life to gain it. But I don't want you walking in that pattern according to the pattern of the world like they do and conform. I want you to know what transformation is. I want you to walk like my kid. I want you to walk like you are royalty and not like you're some kid that I just got off the street and who I want to do nothing with. No, I dressed you in right. You are righteous because of me. There are things that I want to do in your life. I've seated you with me. I am not in the business of messing your life up for no reason. There are things I want to do to interrupt your process because I want you to see that you're already righteous in me. You are holy. You are blameless. And there's a confidence in you that I place and I want to come out. And so you might be feeling the squeeze right now, God said, but it's for your good. All that impurity stuff, all the anxiety, all the stuff that's deep inside that you can't see, we're going deep to get that stuff out. That stuff out. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about because things happen in your life. Like, where'd that come from? Well, that one was buried behind the trauma at 5. That one came when he left you. You learn to wall yourself off because of being offended and hurt. So now I'm trying to heal you again so that you can walk right and know where your confidence is and walk in wisdom this time. So instead of wearing your heart on your sleeve, that you guard your heart. This is all valley work. This isn't on top of the mountain work. Because once I get on top of the mountain, I can rest a little bit. Because there are seasons in your life where God will allow you to rest. And until you get to the place of rest, there's going to be turmoil. Because God doesn't want you to be comfortable until you get to the place of rest. It doesn't mean that there's not issues going around, but you can rest in the midst of stuff. There are some things that didn't break in my life until I struggled enough. And what was built inside of me was built. And I had to learn. And God said, you got it. You're good. Now enter into my rest. It doesn't mean I stopped. But I had to learn what that meant and then take more steps because there's other stuff coming I had to learn to deal with. But I'm bigger now. I'm built now. So what used to affect me, Malia, at 10 doesn't affect me anymore.